Praise the Lord. Welcome to another evening, Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Daniel Mace. Brother Daniel, how you doing out there in Pow Talk land? How's everybody doing this week? Good, good, good. I'm doing good, Sissy. Oh, I want to tell you, Sissy, I got your emails. I just didn't get a chance to answer you back, okay? I'm not ignoring you. I just been a very busy week. Very busy. Okay, I'll get an answer back to you. Tomorrow, probably, okay? Alrighty. How are we doing out there? Anybody have anything to share before we start? Get kicking off here. Let me see. Got Irma. Sister Irma has something to share. Okay, but Sister Irma, you have the mic. Go ahead.
Dan, I just wanted to make a few comments on last week's program. I want to tell you all how much I enjoyed this. That the chorus was very good, and certainly the harmonica was so nice to hear. Also, I was so blessed deep down in my spirit as I listened to Brian and Joey. I really admire their death to self walk and dedication to follow the Spirit wherever He leads. It's not only a blessing to have learned to know them, but it also I share a strong bond of loving Christ with them, and it's a real blessing. And last but not least, I want to thank you, Dan, for all the truth you faithfully share with us. God bless you all. Back to you.
Thanks, Irma. Appreciate it. I'm sure Brian and Joey appreciate it also. They can say hello to you. They're going to share something this week again. Regarding our singing last week, it was terrible. That's okay. We're supposed to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that's what we did. We made a joyful noise. Actually, Brian's learned how to play the harmonica. And Brian and I were going to do a harmonica duet this week, but he chickened out. He didn't practice enough this week. So maybe next week, if they're still around, we're going to do a harmonica duet. But he's come along pretty good, though. He just started playing harmonica recently. So next week, maybe. If we can get into practice, we're gonna do that. And we're going to have Joey sing, too. All right. Anybody else before we start? Wait a minute. Go ahead, Kim. You got the mic.
Okay. I was just wrestling with some spirits this week, and I just wanted to tell you guys something that the Lord showed me, that in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He was showing me that the ungodly doesn't always apply to people, that it also applies to demons when they try to speak to us and tell us things that aren't true and lie to us and try to get us to believe things that aren't of God. So he showed me that, and not to listen to all our thoughts, because the demons give us thoughts that are very ungodly at times and lie to us about ourselves. And also the Lord was making real to me Psalm 3, that David's enemies were people, mostly, and but like Dan was saying the other week, that applies to demons under the New Covenant, that most of our enemies are demons under the New Covenant. So I was just going to read Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. And that's how I felt today. I just felt the demons of despair and depression and condemnation, and I didn't quite know what was going on until the Lord showed me and helped me. And then so when I read these psalms, they really helped me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I was the discouragement just really coming at me today, that I wasn't going to be anything to God, and that I had, there's no hope for me. But I finally got the victory this afternoon, so I just want to praise the Lord for that and thank him for his mercy.
Yes, amen. I just wanted to speak, too, about the anointing that was on that song the other day. It was just amazing. And especially the harmonica, it just really made that song, along with the brothers and sisters that were singing. I also wanted to thank Joseph and Brian for their exhortations, their words. They've really met my heart. The Lord is dealing with me along a lot of the lines that they were talking about. I just want to say, brothers as I emailed in you, you are plants grown up in your youth. It's amazing what the Lord has done in you in such a short time, and I praise God for you. Thank you so much, brothers, for all that you've spoken and all that you've ministered to the Lord and to Daniel and his family there. In the name of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good share. Thanks a lot. Anybody else? I wanted to welcome Brother Joshua. He's been trying to get in for about 3 weeks now. He changed his name, and that meant he couldn't get in. I tried to get him in there the last couple weeks, but he couldn't get in. So he finally got in this week, so welcome him in there. And I guess I got a couple more songs I was going to do it for you guys this week. Since Brian couldn't step up to the plate, I guess I'll have to carry his weight this week till next week. So I'm gonna do a couple songs for you here tonight. First one's called "The Deer Panteth After the Water Brook."
As the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As a deer panteth after the water brook, so my panteth my soul after thee, O God. As a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? In the secret place of the Most High, in the land shall die, where the arrow by day shall not hinder thy way, in the secret place of the Most High. 10,000 may fall at thy right hand, and 1,000 go down at thy side, but it shall not come nigh unto thee, my son, in the secret place of the Most High. In the sea place of the Most High, in the land where we never die, where the arrow by day shall not hinder thy way in the secret place of the Most High. 10,000 may fall at thy right hand, and 1,000 go down at thy side, but it shall not come nigh unto thee, my son, in the secret place of the Most High, in the secret place of the Most High. In the land where we never shall die, where the arrow by day shall not hinder thy way, in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen. Okay, now, let's see. What we got here, guys? Who's going first this week? Brian?
Already.
Looks like Brian has something to share.
All right, how's everybody doing? Can you hear me okay? I'm very humbled, Irma and Rich, and I appreciate your words. And I'll appreciate Dan's gentleness and how he calls me out. We'll try next week. Was an extremely interesting week. There was a lot of schooling going on this week. And I can remember when I was in high school, I did everything I could to skip school, cause trouble for my teachers. I thought that was my curriculum. That was what I was supposed to be doing, so that's what I did. But this school that we're in right now, I think we can all agree that we really can't afford to skip classes or miss lessons and not do our homework, that the tests that we have coming are very real. Their real life. It's not something that we can throw away like pi r squared. I spent some time with the Lord today, praising Him for the victories that He's given everybody up here collectively as a fellowship, and some personal victories as well. And I believe that as I was doing that, He put a word on my heart that reflects what the Lord's trying to show all of us right now in this late hour. And that is that complacency will kill our faith by opening us up to religious spirits. If we allow ourselves to become complacent in our walk with Christ, it can only lead us into any number of dangerous places. Complacency is a fruit of false security, and we all know the dangers of false security by now. Dan's talked about that so many times, and we've all seen that coming out of the church system. When we become complacent, it causes us to be satisfied with our place in Christ, and we fall asleep when we should be on the wall watching carefully for the enemy's approach, and we can be assured that he's approaching. When we become complacent, we stop taking seriously the call that God's given each one of us to walk separately from all those people and doctrines that would cause us to defile and spot our garments. I'd like to give you a little example of this. We had a visitor here the other day that was completely overtaken by a very powerful religious spirit, and I'd never seen anything like this, what this man had manifested. And I want to share with you tonight here is not the root cause of this guy's problem, but it's a symptom, and it's a very real snare that the devil can use on each one of us to trick us into fellowshipping with those spirits. This man felt that he was called of God to travel the world and minister to people, and especially young people, because they're more impressionable. And those are his words, they're more impressionable. He'd fellowshipped with many various groups of people around the globe, and as he did that, as he does this, he doesn't even bother to inquire as to who they are or what they believe. He just wants to minister to them, pray with them, and take meals and communion with them. He's very ecumenical. Well, during the course of the day, he gave us a clue as to why he did all this, and it'll probably surprise you, or maybe it'll surprise you as much as it did me. He told us that he believed that Jesus had one prayer that was not answered by. And that prayer is found in John 17:20-23. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory that thou hast given me I have given them, that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Now see, this religious spirit had twisted the scripture that this guy read in his mind. To him, the fact that there are so many denominations and divisions in Christianity today is proof positive that Jesus' prayer was never answered. And it was pointed out to him during the conversation that that prayer was answered, and that answer was the early church. But he wasn't able to accept that or anything else, we told him. So this guy travels all over, fellowshipping with people in India, in the Philippines, in Canada, here in the States, believing that because Jesus' prayer was left unanswered by the Father, he should be the one to answer it by becoming one with everyone who claims the name of Christ and identifies themselves as a Christian. It doesn't matter to this guy what denomination within Protestantism, whether they're inside or outside the system, or a cult like the Catholic Church, Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses a person belongs to. As long as they claim the name of Jesus, he wants to be one with them. I know everybody in this room well enough, I think, to know that you wouldn't really be foolish enough to sit down and read scriptures and pray with Catholics or Mormons or anybody like that just for the sake of fellowship. But all that really means is that the devil is going to use something more subtle and deceptive in coming to you. One trick that I've seen the devil use is to come in the form of a person who is either asking for help or someone who lets you believe that they could benefit from your help. And Satan uses those things to play to your emotions so that he can get you involved in some way with a person that can deliver you unknowingly into Satan's filthy little wicked hands. Now that religious spirit was using this guy as a tool to infect hundreds or even thousands of people with a counterfeit Jesus. And unfortunately, the vast majority of those people that he ministers to won't have any idea that they're disobeying the Lord by allowing a man to come to him in the name of Christ and deceive many. He's not going to those who he believes are lost in their sins. He's going to minister to those who are Christians. And those who are complacent in their faith and aren't watching are going to be found on Judgment Day that they have allowed the enemy to sneak into their camp and set himself up in their temple. One thing that that spirit wanted so bad to do was to gain the momentum on us by getting us to answer a question that he would pose, allowing him to take control. He tried this several times, but wasn't really able to get that advantage. And one way that he wanted to do this was by going to the Bible. He couldn't see by the Spirit of God. He's a perfect example of someone who allowed a religious demon to deceive him through the Scripture. He could only see in the letter. And for most fundamentalists today, this guy would sound like someone that God is very pleased with. You know, he wanted to go to the Scripture. He said repeatedly, we need to read what the Scripture says. And the reason he wanted to do that was because that was the tool that the devil used to deceive him. So if he could get us there with him in the Scripture, that would put us at a tactical disadvantage. Satan can quote Scripture. He did a fine job of it in Matthew chapter 4 when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and Satan's produced quite a few counterfeit Bible versions. He's very adept at using God's Word against God's people. Reading the Bible daily and staying in the written Word of God is indeed a very important thing for us to do. Everybody could certainly agree with that, but that's not what keeps us, and this man was proof of that. His belief was that as long as he would meditate in the Scripture day and night, he would not be deceived. He gave no consideration to the condition of his heart, or to the power of the devil, or to the Scriptures that disprove his doctrines. Christian complacency is one of the reasons that Satan is able to use our visitor. He'll give gifts and abilities to people. He'll give understanding that makes that person seem like he's been blessed by God. And those who aren't carefully watching are going to be very deceived because he comes to Christians in the name of Christ that they follow. You guys are all familiar with Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In that chapter and verse, Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit. And those fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Within 5 minutes of meeting this guy, I could feel a shift in the spirit, and the good mood and freedom that we had in the spirit was gone. There was no joy in this man at all, and in fact, he actually sucked the joy out of everybody else around him. But he did exhibit every other fruit that's in that list in Galatians. And one of the things that he asked Joey and I to do was to look at those fruits, hoping that we would believe that his walk was the true walk of faith in Christ because of those false fruits that he'd manifested. And I've seen this in a few other people too. They want you to look at those fruits because that spirit's made such a perfect counterfeit that the person manifesting that spirit can't tell the difference. And the undiscerning and complacent Christian would be fooled as well. That's why Jesus told us, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." We're living in the last time, and our enemy is increasing in his strength. God has been giving it to Satan to overcome the saints, and we must remain constantly aware of what the enemy is doing. We must be vigilant and not allow ourselves to become complacent and pleased with our faith. We cannot be content that the Lord will keep us free from deception just because we read the Bible and love Him. We must always constantly on guard and never sleep. And the Bible says that even at the end of Moses' life, his eyes never grew dim. We need that same testimony. Lord, let us help or let us keep our vision clear. That's all I had tonight. I just wanted to leave you with this word of warning from Peter. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Hope you guys have a good week.
Amen. Good word, Brian. Very good word. Okay, up next is Joey.
Hello, y'all. How's everybody doing? Welcome back, Sister Sissy. Good to see you in the room. Praise God. That was a good word, Brian. Appreciate it. And I'm glad he shared some things about the visitation of this guy that came. Because I do appreciate Brian's ability to communicate. Well, I want to also comment about what happened this week. I just want to attest to what Brian said, that it was indeed a... Actually, I would call it a pretty wild experience. But one thing for sure, it was rather a moment of an intense learning experience for me personally in the midst of a battle, especially, you know, facing this guy face to face, battling with him and his the demon friends that he brought with him. And so it was pretty interesting. Of course, there's a lot more to learn. And so... you know, we had some moments of celebration over the victory as we praised God and gave thanks for His protection. You know, like what Brian said, you know, we have to be vigilant. We have to be awake. We have to keep watching and separating from all things that the enemy might use as an advantage against us. Because he's looking around, you know, for those whom he may devour. He's working overtime. All the time, 24/7, as Dan always talks about. So anyway, as I was approaching the Lord this morning, about ready to take all my needs and wants before God, I felt like the Lord was leading me to stop and not approach Him in such manner. And I'm not talking about materialistic needs or, you know, food, clothing, etc. I'm pretty much, you know, talking about spiritual things, like understanding and wisdom and knowledge about what's going on. Certainly, I don't negate at all, by any means, the importance of these things. But I guess the Lord was kind of leading me to approach Him about my need of drawing closer to Him personally. And so, I was taking some time to ponder and think about the Lord this morning. My attention was again turned to the account in Isaiah chapter 6, about Isaiah the prophet seeing the Lord. Let me just go ahead and read those scriptures. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this had touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And in that secret place Isaiah saw the King host in his glory, and somehow, even after preaching righteousness and holiness, preaching repentance, exposing and rebuking false worship, and exhorting God's people to return to the heart of God during his ministry. But when Isaiah saw the Lord, the preacher and prophet of righteousness, declared the most woeful condemnation upon himself as he saw the Lord high and lifted up in his righteousness, in his glory and holiness. And I thank God the Lord cleansed him and purged him as he repented, as the Lord shined his righteousness upon the darkness that was in Isaiah. That's what we need today, right? The second thing I saw in that passage was the fact that this encounter of seeing the Lord, thereby being purged of unclean lips and probably other things in his life that was not recorded there. So as it took place after the death of King Uzziah, okay, King Uzziah. And so as I was meditating about this, in terms of seeing the Lord and about the high calling of progressively knowing Christ intimately and pressing on to draw closer and closer to the Lord, I was being encouraged to search my own life for any kings or spiritual rulers in the throne of my heart that's exalting itself against the King of Kings, who's supposed to be the only one being high and lifted up in my heart. And I've got to be very honest. One of my weaknesses that comes to mind is my emotional Adamic love, especially for unrepentant family relatives. I want to tell you that it hurts. It is painful. And it's not easy, especially when my flesh and the devil wants to keep being friends and partners to rob my soul and spirit, to keep trying to attach me to my earthly identity and robbing me of my spiritual identity, which is sonship, relationship with the Father. It is indeed a battle, and that is why I strongly believe that the kings of idols towards our family, Christian ministry idols, or whatever it might be that's ruling or defiling our lives, must be brutally be put to death spiritually. And unhappily, sometimes, or perhaps a lot of times, not just spiritually, but physically as well, meaning physical separation, putting away or divorcing everything that defiles, touching not the unclean thing. And so one of the prayers I bring to the Lord is, Father, the reason why I feel I'm missing my unbelieving, unrepentant relatives, or feeling certain emotions about other things in this world, love for Christian religion that comes against the high cause, I don't love you enough. It is because I am so void of your perfect love. I'm loving what you hate and hating what you love. I don't love what you love, and I don't hate what you hate, according to your righteousness and justice. And I'd ask the Lord to please, Father, whatever it takes, do whatever you've got to do to cause me to cultivate your love in me, so that I might love the Son of God with the love of the Father, as Jesus prayed in John 17:26. And Holly Dog just read a passage from that chapter. That was pretty interesting. I was pretty encouraged by that. And let me read that verse because it's so beautiful to me. In fact, the whole chapter. But verse 26 says, And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. And I believe that coming into God's divine order about truly obeying the first and greatest commandment is the only way to truly reach the very goal of coming into a place of complete union with Jesus as we run the race. The goal of killing and putting to death the kings or idols in our lives is critically imperative in order to keep a very clear focus and kingdom vision of the high calling, enthroning the Lord Jesus Christ being high and lifted up in our hearts in order to gain the complete victory of winning Christ in the end. Now, in closing, I just wanted to leave just a few more practical thoughts. I know this is going to be a no-brainer for most of you in this room, but for me, I want to allow it to be one of the most important meditations for my own personal encouragement in the race. And if somebody here accidentally gets blessed somehow by my foolish preaching, quote-unquote, or sharing, then I praise the Lord. When the Father has decided to manifest His redemptive plan for His sons and daughters, I noticed that He did not send a billion holy angels or some other perfect holy being, even though He could if He wanted to. But instead, He sent His only begotten Son. When you wisely invest into an expensive merchandise, the price you are willing to pay normally implies the value of the product you expect to receive. I do not know the full measure of the divine value of the perfection of God's overcoming sons in the eyes of God the Father, but for Him to send His absolute best for the full redemption in perfection of His sons and daughters as the price by virtue of the sacrifice of the perfect sinless God the Son. With that said, some has a realization that there's a great heavy burden and responsibility for us who's been hearing what the Spirit is saying in this room. Because I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the great cloud of witnesses and their written testimonies, and the whole host of heaven is fully backing us up to offer and lay our lives down for Him who died for us. And just as He gave His best for us, we owe Him our best to also lay our lives down to win the fullness of the mastery of God's best for His highest glory at all costs.